2 Kings, please, chapter 13. 2 Kings, chapter 13, reading from verse 14. Now Elisha was fallen sick of his sickness, whereof he died. And Joash the king of Israel came down unto him and wept over his face and said, O my father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof. And Elisha said unto him, Take bow and arrows. And he took unto him bow and arrows. And he said to the king of Israel, Put thine hand upon the bow. And he put his hand upon it. And Elisha put his hands upon the king's hands. And he said, Open the window eastward. And he opened it. Then Elisha said, Shoot. And he shot. And he said, The arrow of the Lord's deliverance, and the arrow of deliverance from Syria, for thou shalt smite the Syrians in Aphek, till thou have consumed them. And he said, Take the arrows. And he took them. And he said unto the king of Israel, Smite upon the ground. And he smote thrice and stayed. And the man of God was wroth with him, and said, Thou shouldest have smitten 5 or 6 times. Then hadst thou smitten Syria till thou hadst consumed it. Whereas now thou shalt smite Syria but thrice. And Elisha died, and they buried him, and the bands of the Moabites invaded the land at the coming in of the year. And it came to pass, as they were burying a man, that, behold, they spied a band of men, and they cast the man into the sepulchre of Elisha. And when the man was let down and touched the bones of Elisha, he revived and stood up on his feet. I would understand that when Hosea was beginning his ministry, it was not all that long after a man of God had died. When we think of the conditions that pervaded in the northern kingdom, I just want to draw your attention just for a few moments to the fact that a man of God had died. And I can't help but link the two in my mind between what our brother has so helpfully and solemnly brought before us. And indeed, one trembles a little to try to follow our brother and the brethren that have spoken, but I just want to just speak to you for a few moments of the passing of a servant. There's something here in a passing that I can read a parallel to some of our days. We would look forward, we would look backward. We would look and see just where our day is fitting in. And when I say our day, can I be so bold as to say here in the north of Ireland, here at this time, I have not attended so many funerals as I have in the last few months. It's becoming most evident that there is a generation that is passing. And may I even say that to those of us looking on, it is a generation that was characterized by godliness. It was a generation that had characteristics that we seem to be lacking maybe in our generation that is following. And we would look forward, we would look backward. We would look up to these men, these women that were even men and women of Lurgan. And there were men here that really, when I was reading Elisha here, and the fact that he was even passed away, he still had an energizing effect upon some of those that had entered into the community, into that particular area, even the very sepulchre. And men are able to stand up because of the godly lives of men and women that had gone before. And so I would just like to draw a few parallels. I want you to notice there's something to delight in with this servant of God. There's a delight even as he comes to his passing. I want you to notice his desire. There's something that he wants to pass on. I want you to notice his discernment. Here's a man in touch with his God. And something that the new generation, this younger king, seems to be so out of touch with. This man, even on his sickbed, he's in touch. And he has discernment. I want you to also notice that there was disappointment. There was disappointment as this man of God would come to his end. And we can just consider some of these things together as we would seek to learn a few lessons. This man, there's something to delight in him. What is it? We are well familiar with what happens whenever a good man is going and he lays his hands upon a new man.
We would be well familiar with the scriptures of Moses as he would speak to Joshua, and then the promises of God coming to Joshua, as I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. And we would seek to live in the light of that, and would think that that would be grand. That the brethren Darling and Mr. Eddie Allen and Mr. McShane, and those men have had their day and served their day and generation well. How we would long that the men of our day would also be able to hear, as I was with them, so I will be with you. But one of the things in Elisha's life that he would have delighted in was when there was a passing of the mantle from Elijah to himself. And you will remember that what he was able to say at that time was, my father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof. He recognized that the true power of the nation lay in that man that was just being ushered away. And we would delight in that. And we would love to be in a day when Elijah is taken away and the double portion of the Spirit falls upon an Elisha. And those would be grand days. But maybe you, like me, are struggling a little to relate that grand and glorious day of Elijah passing on the mantle and it's falling on Elisha. And we might be able to think, anyways, that maybe Elisha's death mirrors some of our feelings. But Elisha hears the same words said to him. The very same words said to him. He has the same characteristics of the man who he poured the water on his hands, you'll remember. The very same characteristics of Elijah were found in Elisha. I might just say that that would be a delight, wouldn't it? That which characterized the master was stamped all over the servant. And as Elisha comes to the end of his life, he hears the same words. If I've looked at the chronology of this correctly, it's been a long time. It's been a long time since Elisha has been brought to the fore in Scripture. Dare I say he's about 75 years old at least? And we've not heard from him, even doing any mighty miracle, for the last 35, 40 years? And so he's been in relative obscurity. And it could be that there are brethren and sisters, and you would be coming, what we would say by the natural course of things, you're coming to an end. And you've actually lived the last number of years, maybe even decades, and you remember the days when you were preaching the gospel. You remember the days when you were pulling your weight in the assembly, and for the last few decades it's been left to others, and you've seen decline, and you've been rather discouraged. Well, here's a man who, even though he's been in relative obscurity, it is recognized by the nation that the true power lies in this old man that you and I would have said is old and done. I wasn't used to that expression until I came to this country. And you'll hear someone speak about Brother So-and-so, he's done. Well, I was used to that expression when it came to cakes and cooking and such like, but to hear it being said of an older brother, he's done. He's finished. Here's a man who's coming to the end and he's not done. Because he has the power. You would look forward and you see that this King Joash has a father, and to him it is left but 50 horsemen and 10 chariots. Where does the power of the nation lie? It lies in an old man who's done. It lies in an old man called Elisha, who's been in obscurity for a number of decades. Maybe we could just pause for a moment and honor some of our aged saints. Maybe some of us who are younger ought to recognize that the power of the people of God lies in the men that are labeled done. It lies in the saints who have been in obscurity. And you don't need to visit Faith House very long until you meet some of these gentlemen and ladies. And they have a tremendous interest, like Mr. Albert Aiken, as you sit beside him and talk. He wants to know, son, how are the meetings going?
I used to preach in such and such a district in Bershain. I said, I know you did, Mr. Aiken, because in going door to door, they still talk about you. They talk about when you spoke. They talk about when you preached. And dare I say, is it possible that in Mr. Aiken's eye, there was a tear or two? In obscurity now, days of service come to a close, maybe some here drawing to a close. Could it be that the power of the people of God, where the horsemen and the chariot are in an old man, an old woman? I delight in that. I delight in that. And maybe Elisha did too. I want you to notice that Elisha had a desire here. He calls the young king. He says, take bow and arrows. You don't hear long sermons coming from this man now. He's a little bit like a comparison with Haggai and Zechariah. Zechariah, the young man, is able to pontificate for many a long sermon, and Haggai just gets down to the point as an older man. And here's an older man, take the bow and arrows. He took it. Put thine hand upon the bow. Put his hands upon it. Here is a man who is desiring, an older man is desiring that there will be deliverance for the people of God, and he recognizes that God's going to have to use this young man. Whether he likes the young man or not. I wonder how Elisha felt. When this young man is not a young man that you would be writing great reports about. Here's a man who really is, you look at what his father was like. And you see he's in the northern kingdom and the days of departure are upon them. And could it be that older people that would look upon the younger man, I still see that Elisha is saying to the king, take the bow and arrows. Take the weapons of your warfare. Engage in the battle. He has a desire that the people of God not fall complete prey to the enemy. Take the bow and arrows. And then he says, put thine hand upon the bow. But here's what I love. And you can almost see an old man sitting in Faith House, lifting his hand gently and putting it upon the young man's hand. When the young man lifts his hand to the bow and arrow and to draw it in his strength, there is the old man with the power. Not a physical power. Those days are done. But the man who's in touch with God puts his hand upon the hand of the king. That's lovely. Here's a desire of an older man to see that deliverance shall be brought. Here's a desire of an older man and willing to put his hand upon the young man with all his faults and all his failures. And maybe you're looking at a younger generation and you're looking at that assembly and the young men and the young women are just not like what they used to be in your day and generation. No, and what's interesting is that in your day and generation, there was an older generation who looked at you as well and was saddened. Oh, the young ladies of the 1950s, they're nothing like what they were in 1920. No, they weren't. Nor are those of 2013 like the ladies of 1960. And you might be throwing up your hands in despair. Here's a man, he puts his hand upon the hands of those who are now drawing the bow. What a desire. Could there be begotten in your heart, dear aged saint, could you reach out and put your hand upon those? Whether it be in identification, whether it be in imparting the power, but put your hand upon the rising generation. Because if you don't, there's going to be the arrows that are going to fall short. If you don't, there's going to be arrows that are going to miss the mark. If you don't, there's not going to be a deliverance for a coming generation. My dear aged brother and sister, put your hand today. Put your hand, if it has to be literal, may it be so, but can you not identify? Can you not impart? Can you not be an Elisha that puts his hand upon a Joash? For you see, he guided. He lent its power. What a desire. What a desire Elisha had. Shoot. And he shot. And then what discernment? He says, now that arrow that is blasting out of this window now, there is great significance now. We're not going through just an exercise. There is a significance in the arrow that is going
speaks of deliverance of the people of God. Now I say that speaks volumes for what is about to come. And the discernment that he had, we're about to see another way in which he was discerning. Because he's going to see now that there is a younger man who is not willing to take that promise of deliverance and the promises of a man of God and make them his own. And that's where his disappointment would come in. And if I have spoken to older saints for just a moment, boldly as it was, to put your hand upon a younger person, put your hand upon a rising generation, put your hand on the bow, put your hand on their weapons of warfare. I read here of a young man, and whether it is, and I've struggled with this one, whether it is in the original language, that idea that he was to take the arrows and he was to just fire them one by one out that window, and he only took three from the quiver and fired them out the window, or whether he took it as a bundle, which I'm just not so sure now, but and hit the floor beside the bed where Elisha was. I like the idea that he was firing them one by one out the window. He does it three times, as if, you know, you older generation, you embarrass us by the things that you're asking us to do. Your zeal and your fire is now just not so politically correct. And he just goes and he's almost embarrassed like, and he taps the ground a few times, three times it is, and then stays. Or whether it is he fires three arrows and lets them fall. Here was his chance to appropriate, to make his own what the old men were teaching. And he failed. Is it possible that there is a rising generation that finds the fervor, the zeal, and the faith of a former generation to be a bit embarrassing? There is absolutely no doubt that we are more educated now than ever before, as far as our degrees go, as far as what we wallpaper our walls with, and all our credentials and our business cards will have to become longer and longer as we get all the letters behind our name. There's no doubt that we have more tools, and it could even be more no Greek now than ever before. Could be. Or at least we can pretend to. All it takes is an iPad and a Bible reading, and just knowing a few numbers, and we can immediately say, the Greek says this, and the Greek says that. I didn't know it until 5 seconds ago, but here it is. And we have all the knowledge. But we do find a little bit, you know, the older people were just a little backwards, you know. They were always going to meeting, and they're always saying, amen. We're far out, much too. Is it amen? No, amen. And we're far too sophisticated now. Too sophisticated to have all this, just this outburst of thanking God and praying with fervor. And my generation is blamed for not having tears as we worship our God. Much more sophisticated, much more educated. The old people are antiquated. And we do not make the promises of our God. We do not take the advice of the older generation and make it our own. And that is why Hosea's day comes into play. And because there are kings that are going to just hit the ground three times and leave off. Could I just speak ever so carefully to those that would classify themselves as young? There's young men here. Young women. Could there be ignited in your heart this afternoon? Not only a call to sanctity, as our brother Hay has brought us into the presence of God to consider. Not a call only to return, as our brother Wilson has brought us face to face with that demand. But could there be ignited in a heart today? I will serve my God. I will serve Him. As they did in the past, so I will again today. I will not hit the ground three times and stop. I will serve Him with my heart. I will serve Him with my head. I will serve Him with my substance. I will not let my day and generation fail when it comes to delivering God's people. When it comes to lifting the Scriptures and to bear in a lonely generation. We standing now, we don't stand on the street corners with 150 or so. We don't stand on the and going through the areas giving out tracts. You're almost an oddity now, and more so in the city areas,
and more so in other countries, let me tell you.
Don't let your generation down.
This man did.
Must have been disappointing for the servant of God. It must be very disappointing to our aged saints as they come to the end of their service and realize the young people are not zealous. They don't attend the meetings like they used to. No, they don't, do they? They don't attend the conferences as they used to. My wife and I realized a number of years ago, we noticed a certain phenomena. Families that go to conferences stay in the assembly. Even when it's inconvenient, even when you're tired, even when you have so many more things to do, the older people are there. The younger people may not be. I know I'm speaking almost to the converted here because you have taken a day off work or studies, our young people here today. May that continue by the grace of God. And may we not disappoint a man like Elisha. I just want to come to an end now, recognizing that this man, Elisha, he had a lasting effect. He had a lasting effect even beyond his death. His death. Death is a solemn thing. The words are gone. The day is over. Sunset is now, the sun's just dipped below the horizon. We'll never hear that brother pray again. Men like John Thompson praying, by the way, did as much to my soul as this man let down into the sepulcher. As an invader of your country, if I could say it that way, just as a young man at Bleary Conference, was it, or Ballybolan, I heard that man pray. And his voice quivered as he spoke of the gospel and the reaching out to the lost. And it was the first time I'd ever heard that expression, this favored province of Ulster. I felt my soul revive. And you know, there's some men that have passed on that I never met. And I'm hearing their ministry still. I'm seeing their effect that they had, and my soul revives. May my brother, my sister, as you come to a passing, may you leave such an effect and such a legacy that the rising generation revives when they come into contact even with you and your memory. Such is a way to live. Such is a man of Elisha. A man who had a delight. A man who had a desire. A man with discernment. A man with disappointments. But a man who at his death was able to perpetuate the testimony. I look at the passing of a servant, and I would liken it to our day and generation. May God bless his word.